Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Happy Monday to you. Grab your cup of coffee or tea and let's sit back and talk a bit about the week ahead as we look at the astrology, the human design, and the gene keys, perhaps. We have a lot to cover today because, well, let's just say this is one of those weeks, right? I thought last week was a doozy. Well, this week features a lot of change and a lot of contentiousness. I didn't use the word interesting, did I? I just said this week. Well, it is going to be an interesting week, but it does have a lot of energy of fighting, turbulence, crisis, perhaps. It has quite the spread of some of the worst kind of energies that we could think of when we devolve into those types of energies. So let's take a look at what we can expect. How can we go through it and maintain a high level, high frequency? And so much is happening. And good morning, everybody. Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Mimi. Good morning, Alexandra. It's good to see you all. So how about that talk on Friday with Cornelia? How did everybody like that? She inspired me and I was leaving. So I was inspired to, I was just inspired. And even though there was a bit of an emotional thing as she reread my own words to me, I thought that what she really did was let us know where it is that we need to pull ourselves up and how it is that we can move forward with that idea of the millionaire imprint. And it's not about the money. It's about the getting what it is that you're worth, right? You're worth and pulling yourself up to be able to do exactly what you need to do to meet the full head-on expression of your masculine and feminine selves. Let's see. What? No. What? No. Michelle says, no. Happy, happy, happy energy. Good morning. Cindy says, finally, I get to be here. Missed a lot last week. We missed you, Cindy. Good morning, April. And I hope everybody had a great weekend. So one of the things that we had talked about, I think it was on Thursday. Yeah, because Cornelia was with us on Friday. So Thursday, we talked about the planet Jupiter moving off of the gate that she had been in, which was the gate one, life purpose. And she was moving into gate 43. I always say she, Jupiter, I always think of as the, you know, big feminine energy, but it's really it's masculine energy. Good morning, Tina. And that the gate 43 was the gate of breakthrough, the gate of ideas that come popping out and bursting out of this genius area of yourself, where when you least expect it, something, you know, comes out. And I no sooner, you know, got off air that day. And I mean, literally within just minutes, this giant idea bursts forth from me. And then I thought, oh, wow, that's amazing that that happens very quickly. And then I am driving to Portland. Well, we were going a little south of Portland on Friday after I got off air again. I'm driving and my daughter, she's doing the driving. So I'm in the passenger seat. Mackenzie, my granddaughter's in the back seat. She's got headsets on. So all of a sudden, my daughter and I are just talking about business in general. Right, business in general. And I was expressing a bit of my frustration with how things tend to run in my business over the last several months. And all of a sudden, another brilliant idea, just from a chance comment that she made. So 43 definitely has us in its sights and is setting us up for these brilliant ideas, genius ideas. What we have to learn about it is that those genius ideas are coming from the ajna. There's no energy in the ajna, only awareness. So we can have awareness that there is an idea, a breakthrough happening, but there's no energy for us to take action on it. So I am now waiting for the confirmation, if you will, because I'm a generator. I'm waiting for the outer world to confirm for me what it is that I meant to do with these ideas. And that's the patience part that we have to enact this whole week, right? Patience in expressing ourselves, patience in observing what is happening in our outer world, and it is going to be a crazy week. It's already building up to be a crazy week. I mean, the first thing I see this morning is this fight in the confirmation for Brett Kavanaugh as a Supreme Court justice, and with good reason. He has, there's some things there that need to be addressed, and it is set up to be a week with the sun at gate six, the gate of the shadow of conflict. The highest expression in the gate this week is peace. The gift is diplomacy. So it ought to be interesting to see, because the earth is also sitting at a tricky gate this week. She is sitting at gate 36. By the way, both of these gates sitting on the emotional solar plexus. So they're emotional energy, and you can already see and feel the emotions, much like the Hurricane Florence as she's barreling down. You know, you feel that emotion, that fear that triggers us to go into survival mode. And now we have, you know, the leftover effects of a hurricane. And now we are looking at what is happening in our political scene, what is happening on the stage of the country. And it ought to be interesting, as 36 is turbulence in the shadow. It is humanity in its gift, and it is compassion in its highest. So we see that by creating peace and diplomacy, and by sticking with compassion toward your fellow human beings and the whole of the human experience, we can enact the highest expression of the week. But unfortunately, as things have been looking in our outer world, we're more than likely going to be at the experience of conflict and turbulence this week. And what that looks like for you personally depends on how it is that you greet the things that happen for you as the week unfolds. So then also, I wanted to tell you that something so magical is occurring with the gene keys. I think I've told you all that I'm training. I don't even know if training is the right word, but I'm becoming a gene key ambassador. And that means once a month we meet for transmission of a gene key, and then transmission, kind of the teaching of a gene key. And then 2 weeks later, we meet in community where we get to have breakout groups, and we share with one another. So last month, I was going to have to be on with them at 6 a.m. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so tired. I don't know if I can do that. So I just let it go. And I said, okay, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. If I wake up in time, I wake up in time. And I woke up at 5:58 a.m., got connected, and joined in with the community call. So yesterday, there was a community call at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And we had left Oregon about 6 in the morning, and for our drive home, it's about almost a 4-hour drive. So we get home about 10 o'clock. And since I live, you know, about 16, 17 miles from town, we decided that we would just grab some groceries while we were in town and then come home. I would have plenty of time to still connect to my call. And I get home and the power is out. We have no power. Literally, we walk in and all of the emergency lights are on in the house. And because my husband likes lights and has all of these lights triggered when the power goes out, they come on. Number one, it alerts you during the day that there's a problem with the power. But at night, if you are in a power outage, you have light because they're battery backed up. And I went, oh my goodness. Now I'm not going to be able to meet up with my people because, number one, I get poor cell service here. So I'm not going to be able to do it by cell, and I have no electricity. So there's no internet, and there's no way I can get on my computer. My battery is only going to last so long. And even if I could, there's just no internet. So I was like, oh my gosh. So we're sitting around, I unpack, I'm hanging out. I'm just going, okay, you know, it's just up to, you know, spirit, whether or not this is going to happen. Wouldn't you know it? At 1 o'clock PM on the dot, the power comes back on. And I look at my husband, I go, well, I guess I'm going to my community gene keys call. He's like, okay. So I come in here, I get connected, and it was probably one of the more auspicious breakout sessions that we've ever had. And what happens is there's usually about, I would guess there's 85 to 100 of us that are ambassadors, and we're all in this Zoom call. And then I don't know how they do it. I know you can do it within Zoom, but there's these breakout sessions, right? And they pair us up with two other people. So there's three of us in a call. or I mean in a breakout session. And I get in a breakout session with these two men and I'm like, oh, great. We're supposed to share, right? To me, I'm like, oh no, it's going to be a difficult one. Last time I was with three women, we were all of the same heart, same mind. It was beautiful. It was peaceful. And now I'm in there with two men. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Well, it turns out the three of us, by extraordinary happenstance, have been working through the same issues all the last month. And all three of us were astrology, gene key, and human design people. And we had the most wonderful of conversations. We have an hour in our breakout sessions. It went by in a snap. I mean, all of a sudden I'm getting notified that we're getting ready to go back and join the main group. And I went, oh my gosh, where did the time go? And what we were talking about was generosity. Remember, I told you that was our theme for the beginning of this particular month in the transmission of the seventh month of our becoming ambassadors. And it was about generosity. And interestingly enough, a lot of my ideas that came up from Jupiter sitting at 43 were about how I was going to share human design, gene keys, and astrology with all of you in a very generous way, I would say. And so there's this frisson, if you will, of magic running through. There's like this little magical golden thread that's moving through all of the energies right now. And sometimes I'm very blind to it. I don't see it. And other times it's like right there in my face. So the reason I wanted to bring this up for all of you is it sets the tone for the week, right? It sets the tone that I experienced this irritation, this turbulence, and this idea of the no power. And not only that, I'd come home with bags of groceries, frozen food. So that means I've got to get it in the freezer, but try not to keep my freezer open because I don't know how long my power is going to be out. We never know, right? We never know how long the power is going to be out. And it's funny because the power company thought my power didn't come on till 4 o'clock. So I don't know if it rolled down the island, like, you know, some people at the northern end where I am got power sooner. I don't know, but it was funny. They tell me at 4:12 that my electricity has been restored. And I'm like, yeah, that was 3 hours ago. So we learn that there's always this little silver thread, this little gold thread, this little magical piece that's moving through the collective. And it's just there for our being able to recognize it, to see it. And we do that when we stay out of our own way. When we stop with all the chatter and the victim, oh my God, my electricity's off, my food's going to spoil, I'm not going to make my gene keys call, etc. And just stay in the moment, just stay in the moment. That is where the magic happens. And I think last week we talked a lot about that in our visiting the 28th gene key, which I got some rather interesting insight from that gene key from one of the participants yesterday. And he was talking, and this is like male energy, right? This is why I really didn't want to be, you know, paired up with these men, but it was really beautiful in the end. He said that something about gate 28 was warrior consciousness. As soon as he said the word warrior, of course, I'm just like wanting to nod off, right? I don't want that idea of the warrior energy. And that 38 at the opposite end was actually warrior action, was the warrior in action. And it is, it's called the gate of fight, right? What we think of warriors as fighters. But what if we were warriors for peace? That is what the high side of the Pallas Athena is bringing to us, right? What if we were warriors for compassion? Right out of Venus sitting at the gate 28, where there's warrior consciousness, elevating our consciousness to become this movement for toward peace and toward diplomacy and compassion and humanity. So that is the positive high side of the week as we're looking ahead. Right? This is the potential for where we're headed. The other potential and likely experience we will also have is in the conflict side of things, right? The conflicts. Good morning, Phyllis. It's good to see you out there. Let's see what people are saying this morning. Mimi says, I have a feeling politics is going to take some hard knocks this week. I agree. The quest for truth. And she also says, yes, indeed, I finally launched my Facebook art page. Yay, Mimi. Thankful for the universal energy. Good morning, Suzanne. Good to see you out there. So all in all, then, we're really looking at the potential for us to hold space for peace and compassion while the outer world shows us all of this other chaos and all of this other stuff, right? Because it's, we've got the two sides of the coin, right? We talked about that last week too. You can't have the dark without the light, and you can't have the light without the dark. And so they're both very valid parts of ourselves. And until we own it all, we can't come to real lasting peace, right? We just can't, because we're always going to see something out there that triggers the victim in us, or we're going to see something out there that triggers anger or upset, because we haven't owned completely what that shadow is. And it's personal, right? We also have, we have the collective shadows out there. We're all a part of that as well. But the only part that I can actually control about that collective shadow is the part that I own in it, right? The part that I own in it, right? What is the fear that is triggered for me when I see someone like a Brett Kavanaugh, who's potentially going to land himself in the Supreme Court? What is that about for me personally, right? I can't control what the Senate and the Congress is going to do. I just can't, but I can control my own reaction to it. And that's what we are. That is how we are going to come to peace and diplomacy. That is how we're going to come to compassion. So it is up to you on this whole week, how it is that you handle all of the different things coming up in your life. And it could be more personal than just what's happening in the outer world too. The outer world, the bigger, you know, the bigger screen, what's happening on your own screen in the outer world, in your personal life, dealing with divorce, dealing with breakup, dealing with money issues, dealing with jobs and all that kind of thing. Those are your own personal conflicts and your own personal issues. And what is it showing you about you? What is it that you haven't completely loved and brought in to yourself? What part of you are you not wanting to see, right? What do you just talk to the hand kind of thing, right? So it is a really juicy week for all of us. It is also a juicy week because we're moving into the autumn equinox as we get into Saturday. And we'll talk more about the complete picture of the autumn equinox as we move through the week. We'll do it in pieces. We'll start today by saying this. Every time we get to the turning of the seasons, when we get to an equinox or when we get to a solstice, we are dealing with a change in the way the dynamics of the energies flow. In human design, every one of the equinoxes... there's two of them, and the two solstices are at what we call the gates of love. The four gates, the 10, the 15, the 46, and the 25 are the gates of love. And we get a new iteration of the combination of those gates at each of the seasonal changes. And so a contemplation, if you will, about self-love, about the love of humanity, about the love of being here in the physical, and the love, the fourth one, of spirit embodied within us, can take us a long way into understanding the path that we're on. So here we're coming. We're coming to the gates of, let's see, this time we are going to be at the sun at 46, which is the gate of the love of the physical, being grounded here in the earth, with the earth in the gate of the spiritual, right? The spirit. So we are very connected. Like, draw a line from, you know, your highest self, your aura up here, and drag it down through the body and through the root chakra down into the earth as far as you can go. And that is the energy, the grounded energy of spirit, the love of spirit in the physical being, your physical body, this, you know, meat suit that you're in, if you will, and loving both the physical and the spiritual aspects of oneself. It's a really fascinating experience to look at yourself through the eyes of love, the love of spirit and the love of your physical being, the love of everybody's physical being, the love of everybody as a piece of spirit, as, you know, spirit embodied. All right. So the autumn equinox happens at 6:54 p.m. on the 22nd, Saturday. That's West Coast time, 6:54 p.m. And what else do we have going on this week? Well, we have a Mars squaring Uranus. Talk about feeding into conflict. feeding into conflict as a tool for awakening. That's what Mars and Uranus are up to this week. Mars in Aquarius, a fixed air sign. So we've got to look at what is up here. What are we doing up here? The potential is that Uranus, who is the actual ruler of the sign Aquarius, the more modern ruler, if you will, of the sign of Aquarius, is that we can find new and exciting ways to overcome any of the challenges we face, right? There's new inventions, potentially, there's ahas, there's inspiration. So we have a lot of high side potential with Mars squaring Uranus, but we also have that potential to have the fight between the traditional, the old patriarchy, and the new. What are we awakening to versus what have we traditionally held as truth? And I want to say very clearly that it appears that the fight in the Supreme Court for the, if we take the personality out of it, we take the person out of it, we take the president out of it, we take Congress out of it, it appears to still be the continuation of the need for the divine feminine to rise up, right? Because we're looking at putting a person in here who obviously does not value the feminine in the way that the feminine needs to be valued. Not the person, but what that person represents in terms of historical significance in the decisions he's made, in his ideologies, etc. So it's a really profound week, if we think about it, because it's like a turning point. There's a turning point. The turning points are usually the equinoxes and the solstices, but more, it feels more than that to me. It's more than a change of the season. It's more than a turning point in, you know, the ideologies of the planet. It's a turning point of our will to evolve into something beyond the fear-based victim energy that we've been living in on the planet. And of course, you all have a role in that, right? So we have also the Sun conjunct Mercury coming up this week. This is the superior conjunction of the Sun and Mercury, means we are halfway to the next retrograde cycle. Yikes, I don't even want to think about that. When we have the inferior conjunction, we have ourselves halfway through the retrograde cycle. So the Sun and Mercury coming together is actually today, I believe. Sun conjunct Mercury is Thursday. So the 20th, so happening just before the equinox or the change of seasons. So there's a new message, right? The Sun, Mercury is actually catching up to the Sun. Remember, it was retrograde in Leo with the Sun moved on into Virgo. So now Mercury is caught up to the Sun. And in that, then he's delivering a new message that the Sun will be beaming to us over the next 3 months of the season. And if we draw a chart up then for the autumn equinox, what we always see then is the energy for the next 3 months. Remember when we pulled up the chart for the summer solstice, what I said, I was really shocked that there were no inner planets involved in that equinox or in that solstice. And I said basically that it meant a lot of things were out of our hands. There was a lot of going on that had to do with consciousness being elevated through the collective, through the transpersonal planets, Jupiter and Saturn, and the outer planets, but none of the inner planets were involved. In this particular time, we have the inner planets making connections. We have Mercury making a connection to the Sun. We have the Moon making a connection to Venus, the Sun making a connection to Mars. We have a square to Jupiter and to Saturn. So we have a lot of inner planets and transpersonal planets involved. It's a wider spread, if you will. So in this particular season, then it shows us that there's a bridge that we're crossing, but it's a crossing that we're not making en masse, that we are making as individuals. So thinking about yourself as an individual, that's a part of this collective, and what it is that you're thinking and moving through is also your part to transmute the energy of the collective. I want to give you another concept that I heard yesterday for the first time ever. I think And it made so much sense. And I'm like, I don't know why I hadn't thought of this myself. Or maybe I'd heard it before somewhere in the past and just never connected to it. But I really connected with this energy yesterday of the hive heart. We talk a lot about the hive mind. That's the collective, right? That all of us together are creating this reality through the mind. And the mind, of course, as we know through human design and the gene keys, holds no energy for decision-making. It is relatively affected by the veil of fear that has sort of encased this planet. But the heart operates separate from that field. The heart itself literally comes from a deeper place. It comes from a soul connection. It is not driven by the fear of the mind. So hive heart. I don't, that was something yesterday that came up during the Gene Keys call. And we also, when we come from the hive heart, then we get to peace. We get to compassion. I love it, right? Hive heart. So if we're approaching everything from that space, it connects us soul to soul instead of head to head, right? So interesting week as we seem to have these different dynamics at our, you know, fingertips this week. There's another issue coming up this week that we will deal with as we still have Venus sitting at the Gene Key Gate 28, the struggle, the purposelessness being the shadow. And that is that she is going to move out of that into Gate 44. And Gate 44 is also on the spleen. It is a gate that creates interference patterns. And, you know, I learned about interference patterns when I was first studying the Mayan calendar, in that this is going to be a talk about cosmology, and you're going to have to bear with me because I don't know that I can get to the details enough to really make you understand. But think about this. In the Mayan calendar, it is the charting of the evolution of consciousness. In the very beginning, 16, 14, 13, I don't know, billion years ago, there was the planting of the world tree. And we know this as the incarnation cross in your human design. We know it in Norse mythology as the world tree, literally. We know it as the cross of matter, right? The cross is a representation of this tree. And the tree has arms, right? So we have the vertical plane that it sits in. And we also have the horizontal plane represented by the arms or the branches of the tree. When the tree was erected, and this comes right from the Mayan terminology, life began, evolution began on the planet. And it began by sending out waves of energy, frequencies of energy that took us from our very beginnings, the first first the dynamics of the earth and her formation, of the solar system and its formation, and then on to, you know, at the end of the first of these waves, we had single cell organisms, right? And then we go to the next wave, another pattern comes out, and it is shooting out across the first pattern, and it creates interference as it comes across. That resistance, that energy, that burn creates the energy for the next piece of evolution. Resistance creates, interference creates evolution, right? It gives us that, we got to go to the next level. Right? So all through these nine levels of evolution, we have had these interference patterns being shot off out of the world tree, if you will. And this is energetic. This isn't like some real tree. But the energetics of these interference patterns that shoot off and disrupt the pattern that's already in place. Okay. Is everybody with me here? Everybody understanding what I'm talking about? So we have an interference pattern being developed as we move later into this week, as we move into the equinox time by Venus at gate 44 in the spleen, creating an interference, interrupting the past, right? The gate 44's fear literally is that the past is going to repeat itself. When I look at the potential for Brett Kavanaugh to become a Supreme Court justice, I see it as us taking a step backwards in time to a time when your body as a woman wasn't your own to do with what you wanted to do with. That's what I see. That's my fear, that the past is going to repeat itself in all of the ugliness and all of the fight that women have had, that warrior consciousness of women to come, of the feminine to come up and greet the masculine. That is the interference pattern that we are looking at. Not just that one, by the way, lots of different interference patterns that will be enacted for us as we move forward through this particular Venus period, as she's slowing down to meet the retrograde, as she'll be in the retrograde, and then she'll come back by these same spots two more times, right? Once in passing backwards, and then once when she moves back forward. So there are some very definite themes. The reason why I've been working with the gene keys, with the spleen and Venus, because these are patterns that are going to repeat for us over the next couple of months. When you see repeating patterns, every time the pattern repeats, we have the opportunity to interfere, right? The wave moment of a new frequency is birthed. Do we go back to the past? Do we take the best from the past and we bring it into the now and look at the potential high side of a new future? That is this week too. So not only do we have this conflict in all of that, you know, as the old tradition is meeting up with this new potential, but we have underneath it all this wave moment of interference that's being set up for us. An extraordinary week, people. An extraordinary week. So let's see, what else? So I wanted to also give you a picture. I may need to get my dark black pen here for a moment. What time am I looking at? Doing good. I also pulled a card for the week. It's sitting right here. So I'm going to put it in front of me so I don't forget to tell you what it was, because I know what it is, but I didn't read it. So I don't know what it means, but I could guess. So I want to show you a couple of patterns in our autumn equinox that are, I thought maybe we would deal with the more challenging aspects first, get that over with, and then we'll look at the high side of all of this as we move on through this week. So the first thing I'm going to introduce you to is probably something fairly new, because this is a fairly rare pattern, and it is called a grand square. So here we have a grand square, and it is made up of the points of a square, just like a normal square, but we have each corner in a different sign element. So we have water, we have air, we have earth, and we have fire. But all four of the planets at those points are in signs that have the same quality. Remember, the qualities are they fixed, meaning it's kind of stuck in a rut? Are they mutable, meaning they're very adaptable and it's bringing us change? Or is it cardinal energy, which throws out something new? So we see in one of the dynamics of the autumn equinox, so it's setting us up for 3 months worth of fixed energy in the points of the cardinal, or the points of the grand square. And fixed energy is a little bit rutted, right? So if for one of the bases that we're moving into this equinox energy is in a fixed pattern, right? A fixed pattern. We have Venus in fixed Scorpio. We have the black moon Lilith in fixed air. We have the planet Uranus in Taurus in fixed earth. And we have the north node in fixed fire or Leo, which means that the south node is also engaged. So I want you to think about this for a minute, because we have two feminine energies involved in this grand square. We have Uranus, a technically masculine energy, but in a very feminine sign, Taurus. And then we have a more neutral energy of the north node in Leo, which says, I don't care if you're really male or female, but you gotta, you know, emerge. You gotta jump out there into the front. And those fixed psi, or those, that fixed energy is what we enter into this with, meaning we have these fixed patterns in place. We have these fixed ideologies. We have these fixed ideas even of what we can expect or of how things should work. We have this good old boy network entrenched in Senate and the Congress, in the legislature. We have these fixed ideas of things, the way the world works. But we have two shadow pieces going on here too. We've got the Black Moon Lilith in Aquarius. She's like, get out of the box and think of some new ways, right? We have Venus, even though she's not considered a shadow, she's in the sign of Scorpio, which takes us deep into those dark places. She's exposing the places where we have this shadow, where this darkness is, right? Mimi says, wow, so much brewing this week. Yes, yes. When I took a look at this week, I'm getting chills even thinking about the energy of the week. Now, does that mean your week is craziness? Probably not so much personally, but it could be. But there's a lot of, like I said, this interference going on out there in the world. This pattern is erupting into places where it's out of sync with where we're headed from a consciousness level. So where we're out of sync is where things get tricky. So we're out of sync here because we're not pulling in the shadow. We're not owning the shadow as much as we own the parts of ourselves we like and love, right? So that's the call. Uranus literally at the corner here, retrograde. So the shifting pieces are still here on the internal when it comes to Uranus in the bigger picture. So an internal evolution, if you will, occurring. And the nodes, destiny, pushing us in a direction that is sort of, if I use this word, don't yell at me, it's sort of preordained. There is a sense that we are headed in a specific direction. It's our choice if we engage it or not. And it's our choice in how we engage it. But the fact is that we, you know, there's this movement, this evolution of consciousness. It's happening with or without us. Okay, so the second interesting challenge, I wish I had another color, but I don't, but I think you'll be able to see it, is that we are also faced with a very powerful T-square in all of this. That's funny. It looks like a house now. So the T-square right here, the point at good old boy Saturn, right? The point. The balance, the base is at Chiron and the sun. Sun right here, also the vertex there in a conjunction there. So across the base, we have the wound and we have the sun highlighting it. Like, let's shine as much spotlight energy on it as we can. And Chiron is at the 0 degrees of Aries. And we know the 0 and the 29 are what? Karmic degrees. And in fact, Chiron is at 0 degrees, 06 seconds. I mean, just about as close to zero as you can get. And in retrograde. So bringing us back to where it is that we're playing the victim energy. Remember, 0 degrees of Aries is the sign change, right? That's where we were moving out of the victim martyr energy of Pisces and into the more, I need to be self-fulfilling, self-accepting in the energy of 0 degrees Aries. But Chiron is retrograding quickly now back to 28, 29 degrees of Pisces. So we're having to look at that vestige of victimhood that you're still carrying, right? All of us are carrying. A T-square is highly challenging. And with a grand square, so we're highly challenged to break out of these old fixed patterns. We have the ability to do it. We do, but we're going to have to follow the point here. And the balance point as well, Cancer. Saturn is sitting up here at 2. So the point is at 2 degrees of Capricorn. And the balance point then is going to be at 2 degrees of Cancer. And if we bring it down to 2 degrees of Cancer, we do that by nurturing one another, by feeding each other, good stuff, right? Feeding, taking care of, protecting, and not protecting the old path, but protecting the egg of the future. When we think of Cancer, it's the great mother. Cancer energy is the great mother. So the balance point to Saturn in a very sort of militaristic, ruthless, business-oriented sign is in bringing in the more nurturing energies of the mother. So remember in our human design charts, I'm going to show you a human design chart really quickly here, that one half of the tribal energy is over here in the feminine, right here, and the other half is over here at the masculine. But it takes both. Remember, the feminine energy is the one that lays down the laws, that brings the values to the forefront and teaches those values and those laws and those rules to the children, to the next generations. And it is up to the masculine energy to go out and enact those laws, those rules, those values, and act as the protector of those new eggs of consciousness that come up here, right? Of the children, of the values. And we in our current society are working it backwards. We've been working it backwards. Is it any wonder we are all kerfluffled? I can't even believe I just used that word. Is it any wonder, right? Because it's been topsy-turvy. This is our opportunity to right the ship, right? To bring ourselves out of the kerfuffle and into the light, right? To right things, the feminine needing to rise up and be who she's always meant to be, the lawgiver, right? The value setter, the one that makes sure the children are fed and clothed and know what is right from wrong and know the hold the values of the tribe, of the community, of the of humanity, and are enabled, empowered to take that and move it forward, right? There are progeny, there are hope for the future. And then it is the masculine energy who, with strength and courage and protection, goes out and makes sure that that happens. But right now we have it all backwards. We have the masculine trying to do everything and believing that it's all powerful and all things pass through the masculine. So a big change is coming, right? We see it as a backlash of the white male. Right? The white male energy that, feels disempowered by the rise of the feminine, feels disempowered by our embracing differences, the different sexuality, different colors of skin, different nationalities, different religions and belief systems. So it is that white patriarchy, that white masculine energy, the old energy. It represents the old patriarchy. So it's not technically white men, but the white male energy that represents the old, struggling to hold on to power as things are ever changing. So this is a dynamic as we move into the fall that's huge. It's one of the reasons, along with the fact Pallas Athena will be sitting at 0 degrees of Libra, that I really believe there's going to be a shakeup in the power structure as we move into the election time. Because I think we've had enough of that shadow in our face that we can do something about it now, right? And we can do that with our votes. So it would get out and vote. Vote your heart, vote your conscience. Don't sit in the background and expect that everybody else is out there voting and will take care of it. You're not empowering yourself. And then if you want to complain about what's going on in the world, you have no right, right? You have nothing that you can say. I did this. I stood up. I used my voice. I used my vote. You also have dollars. Use your dollars, you know? So anyway, I don't want to get on that. So let's just say this is a very powerful gateway that we're walking through as we move into autumn. And I just thought real quickly, I'm going to show this chart to you again. This is what the human design chart looks like for the week, right? The two center. So if you're a projector, a reflector, or a manifester, you have a defined sacral this week because the sacral is connecting up through the 360, three and gate 60 in the root center. Now, there is a tale in and of itself, right? That the only connection being made during the week, at least until the later part of the week, is through the gate of mutation, through the channel of mutation. We're being primed for a big change. The 3 and the 60 are the most mutative energies in human design. And it mutates the action that we take. It mutates our grounding. Like, what are we based in? Right now, we've been based in fear. So this is changing and mutating that, moving us into a new potential. And it'll be interesting later in the week to take a look and see where that energy takes us as we change in the human design week, which will be, let me show you what day, because this week actually started yesterday and it moves us to the 20th, Thursday. And on Friday, we make the change through to the gates of love, 46 and the 25. And then the very next day, just actually hours from that, we have the fall equinox or the autumn equinox. So big changes this week, the potential for a lot of conflict, a lot of ugly, turbulent, sort of chaotic energies. But we also have on this high side, the potential for major change. But it begins with you and how it is that you greet this energy. All right. So tomorrow we'll go into more of the equinox energy and of the things that we can expect. So I want to use these last few minutes to talk about the card that I drew earlier, the Oracle card from the Wisdom of the Oracle deck by Colette Baron-Reed. I drew the card tick-tock, straight up like this, tick-tock, like time's up. I like it. Okay, so the essential meaning of that particular card is timelessness, divine timing, and immeasurable time. Remember when we talked about the gift, or no, it was the Siddhi, the highest expression of the gate of the 28th gene key. And it was really about the time of no time, that it would be expressed when we stopped being engaged in time. So this is kind of timely. So when humans created time, everything changed and contracted. People have come to look at life in a linear way, imagining that the past is behind them and the future ahead of them. But what if that isn't true at all? What if everything, creativity, beauty, chaos, and order were happening now in a glorious timelessness? You have all the time in the world to co-create the life you desire, so release your agenda. Let go of your need to shape each moment to your expectations, knowing that what is yours will never be withheld from you. Miracles are here right now and always show up when you need them right on time. For relationship message, love, the fulfillment of desire, and even the body's reproductive cycles have their own timetable. Some things are preordained and cannot be coerced. Everything has its season, its divine and appropriate timing, especially when it comes to matters of the heart. Remember that you always have enough time for love to find it, to nurture it, to give and receive it. Its clock is eternal and ticks according to the beating of your heart in perfect rhythm. Isn't that wonderful to know? Love is always right on time. Prosperity message. Your prosperity is co-created by your endeavors as they occur in human-made time and the eternal efforts of your most important manifestation partner, spirit, in a divine, measureless time. So keep doing what you're doing. Stay positive and make a commitment to remain in high vibration thoughts and feelings. If you heed the message of this card, it will seem as if you will align with your highest calling and your highest good in no time at all, like magic. So what's all the fuss about not having enough time? The prosperous life that is yours will never pass you by. Yeah, kind of love that card. So this is our card that represents the week. Tick-tock. TikTok. All right, let's take a look at what people are saying before I head out. Suzanne, the second time we've had that card, and I think we had that card just recently even, Suzanne. I think you're absolutely right. April says, whoa, I was just talking to my daughter about the realization of abuse causing fear and standing in integrity is empowering. Woohoo. Suzanne says, hi, Libby. Hello, Libby. Mimi, LOL, don't know whether to say woohoo or oh doo doo. A bit of both, I suppose. True, very, very true. Londa says hurricane storms disrupt old patterns. Absolutely, absolutely. And even in your own life, those hurricanes and storms that that move through you are also purifiers, cleansers. Londa, I'm not sure what neophyte, I mean, I know what a neophyte is, but I'm not sure what way you're using that. So if you want to let us know what that meant. And John says, I love the hive heart idea. Isn't that beautiful? Just, you know, hive mind to me sort of did not always feel very good, but hive heart, oh yeah, feels very good. Bonda has gate 44. So do I. So do you, Tom, and a couple others of you, and maybe others of you that I just don't remember your chart off the top of my head. Natasha says, I have been talking with my humanness to help her stay in the loop of change. She has not been happy lately. It's taking a lot of communication with her to help. Absolutely. Stick with it. It's worth it. Good morning, Peggy. I say good morning to Phyllis, Mimi. I have a feeling politics is going to take some hard knocks this week. Okay, so I've gotten back to the older things here. So breathe, just breathe. Don't get caught up in the madness of the outer world. I'm doing a lot of this lately, taking my phone and putting it face down, because even when it's on silent, you know, it still kind of rumbles, you know, a little bit vibrates, and then that alerts me. And then I want to go and look and see what it is. Just keep it face down and do what you love. Do what's coming from the heart. Work through your own shadows. Reach out if you need help, because people are very much willing to help you when you're struggling with something. And don't hold it all within yourself, right? I was shocked yesterday to find two men struggling with the same issue that I'm struggling with. And it was so heartening. In the end, I felt like it was the most perfect connection ever to make at that moment in time. And we do that when we open up our hearts and allow for whatever it is and show in front of us to show us what it is that we're meant to learn from it. So anyway, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I hope everybody has a wonderful week, despite some of this chaos that's happening. Much love to you all. And I will see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. East Coast time. Bye for now.